You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got a chance to talk to Forbert and Carlo after the game as well. If we want to just touch on defensively and goaltending for a sec. So on the goaltending side of things, Montgomery said he thought that was Swayman's best game of the year. I still feel that sometimes I see the puck coming at Swayman and like the rebound control he has still some issues with. And when the puck's coming at him, I just don't like, this is because Allmark has been playing so well, but there's just a little bit less like trust that he's going to make that stop. Like, at least when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he has it. But with Allmark, it's like, oh, he's got this. So it just feels like there's still like, you trust Allmark more. Swayman did have a good game, obviously only letting up the one goal, but the rebound control was a little sketchy.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I notice with Swayman sometimes is, and I noticed him once tonight on, it was like kind of like a low angle chance, and it was a backhander flipped on. And I feel like sometimes with those almost like chaos plays where it's not like a straight on shot, it takes him like an extra just half a beat to figure out like where the puck's dropping. Cause like it'll hit him, he'll be in good enough position to stop it. But then it's like he's got to kind of quickly look down and like figure out where it went after it hit him. But for the most part, yes, he was very good. And I think Montgomery's right. I think it, especially considering the opponent, I do think it was his best game of the year. And he's, he's picked it up since he came back. I mean, he was good in the Carolina game too. So when he came in relief, like I don't think he faced a ton of shots, but he had to make a couple of key saves there. So,
and without him, without some of the saves that he made there, the Bruins don't break the streak for home wins. So like he came in clutch in that game when he came in, when Allmark got hurt. And so those were two really important spots, you know, saving the streak at home and then keeping it alive today against Tampa Bay. The only goal you give up is to Steven Stamkos for his 999th point. But I mean, I'm sure
wide open one timer with like, no chance.
Which by the way, like when the game first started and Nesson showed the graphic of Stamkos being at point number 998, I was like, oh no. I was like, it would be poetic justice. If I wasn't a Bruins fan, if I was a neutral hockey fan, I was like, could you imagine if Tampa Bay swarms their Stamkos after getting his 1,000th point at the Garden in a Lightning win, like the Bruins did for Bergeron. Like, I was like, that's not that far-fetched to think that he just gets 2 points and then Tampa tries to do it to the Bruins because the Bruins did it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we loved watching it, but like, I'm sure the last thing Tampa wanted to do was delay the game 4 minutes when the Bruins left their bench to hug Bergeron in the middle of a period down in Tampa on their home ice. So I think that they were chomping at the bit to do it to the Bruins for payback if the opportunity presented itself, but obviously fortunately it didn't.
I kind of wish that the goal was his 1,000th though, just so Scott and I could have been there to see it. And like this, the outcome is the same, like, you know, but just that was his 1,000th point. Then we would have seen it, cause he did get so close, but no cigar.
Yeah.
Also, on Stamkos, one of the moments I always think of with his career happened on Garden Ice. And I, you know, remember it obviously because it was against the Bruins and I was there, but that 2011 conference final when he took the shot to the face, I think it was a Johnny Boychuk slapper, and like just thought for like there's so much blood. Like just thought for sure, like he's done. Like he's not coming back from that. And he comes back with the cage, and he's got like just a huge gash on the side of his nose. Like that, it was so nasty, and it was like, dude's just a baller. Like that.
Oh yeah.
You never forget that.
Well, yeah. Well, also like later in that game, the Nathan Horton goal that was the eventual game winner that sent the Bruins to the finals. Like, you know, Stamkos was the one back checking Horton on that play. And, you know, I don't want to say the Bruins wouldn't have scored had Stamkos been able to breathe out of his nose, but when he's back checking, but you know, that could have played, that probably played a factor in him not getting back in time. I mean, he couldn't breathe. So he's probably huffing and puffing up there, but yeah, he's, and then, you know, a couple of years later, he ended up like breaking his fibula or something like that at the Garden. So not the best rank for him to want to play in, I'm sure. But one other thing I wanted to comment on too, because you guys were talking about Swayman, midway through the third period, or maybe towards the second half of the third period, he made a right pad save on Corey Perry on a 2-on-1 with Braden Point. And watching it on television, it was very, very clear that that puck was going right into the back of the net, middle of the net, had it not been for a phenomenal, you know, read and save by Swayman. But on TV, Jack said, "What a save by Swayman. It looked like it may have been going just a hair wide." And it's like, no, Jack, that was dead nuts in the center of the net if that wasn't going, if you didn't stop that. But that was
wait, not, are we talking about craziest. Christian Pulisic now?
No.
Sorry. Well, I heard you say dead nuts. Sorry.
I will say, as a play-by-play broadcaster, if you're not looking at your monitor, like obviously he's not getting the same angle. We sit really far away. I will say that. So I give him a break on that.
I think Jack watches the monitor when he's calling. I don't think he's watching the actual ice. But regardless, either way, well, I bring up Jack because it wasn't even the wildest thing he said, and maybe you guys didn't hear this because you were in
no
person,
the pizza.
But,
I heard the maroon.
He was fat shaming.
Heard it. Yeah.
It's like it's amazing.
By the way, there was three things that I wrote down today.
That Jack said.
Yeah. Not besides the pizza. At one point, he said, "I will examine your sunburn," to Brick. I forget the context. And another point, he said Zaka had Chinese mustard on that.
So a bunch of people were online and the video, and basically Jack is just unprompted, out of nowhere, for no reason, just fat shaming Patrick Maroon, who at this point in the game, I think played about 45 seconds. And it's just like, whatever, it's what it is. But on one of the videos online, somebody, I forget, there's so many people tweeted the video, and it was just in one of the replies, somebody responded to the video of Jack going off on Patrick Maroon and said, this is the all-time Jack quote right here. And it was a video from like during the pandemic season when they were playing in front of like no fans at the Garden. And I forget who they were playing, but Jack's going off on a tangent about how he's he said something like to Brick, he's like, when I was growing up, my sister was always taller than me, and then one day I got taller than her and I pinned her down and I got on top of her and I said, "I've been counting." I never remembered that being said, and when I watched that video tonight, I was like, oh my God.
I remember like, that. I remember how awkward and uncomfortable that was, and the awkward silence from Brick.
The total silence. Just incredible.
Can you imagine Jack just pinning his sister down and looking at her dead in the eyes while he's on top of her saying, "I've been counting." It's so weird. Love him or hate him, he's original. There's nobody else like him. And for that, he deserves all the credit in the world. But my God, does he make things uncomfortable. The one thing I'll say about Jack is I remember I've always had a soft spot for him. And don't get me wrong, like I want to mute the TV 90% of the time I watch games. But when I was younger, my dad and I went to a game and we were sitting in the corner of the rink. And like I think two or three rows in front of us was was Jack and his kids. And this is back when Dale was doing the home games and Jack was doing the road games. So he just had the night off and he was with his kids. And I was in middle school at the time. But anyway, so I got to see the human side of Jack when I was younger. And so I've always had a soft spot for him. I know it's more or less an act, but or is it? But
well, he seems a lot calmer when you talk to him, not like when he's in the hallway after like a period or whatever.
Well, the best part about Jack, and Scott, you'll appreciate this. Did you know where Jack got his, well, I shouldn't say his start, but did you know that he used to be a play-by-play soccer announcer for ESPN?
Yeah.
Jack doing soccer play-by-play?
Yeah, I remember when he did soccer, and I was thinking about it today because I'm pretty sure he did at least one, maybe two World Cups for ESPN when they used to have it. But yeah, that I think that was definitely his like first passion. I think he, you know, was doing that even before hockey, or maybe like at the same time. But yeah, for a while that was definitely his priority and kind of the thing that he was best known for. Like he was one of the top guys at ESPN, and he was getting you know, some of their biggest games.
Well, he also was in The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary.
That's right.
I'm just like watching and I'm like, Jack, because he's talking, because he's just at the desk, like, and he seems so much different, and it sounds like a news person, which is like, it's almost like totally your brain can't even process it. It's like the total calm, like newsy, like professional compared to what we hear.
Imagine Jack calling those games back in the day. Jordan slams dunk and Bugs Bunny take that. You know, always something stupid like that. We should get Jack on here if we can. I would love to talk to Jack Edwards on this podcast.
Yeah, we went on a pretty long Jack tangent at this point.
Well, we won't ever let him know that we talked about him on leaning on this the sister thing, but that one can stay. So we have him on. All right, welcome to the Skate Podcast. I'm Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue and Scott McLaughlin, and alongside Jack Edwards, I'm Andy Brickley. Hey, Jack. Talk to us about when you were on top of your sister that time. Like, what was that all about? That probably wouldn't go over too well.
Oh, God.
Click.
He's gone. Oh, he's gone. We lost him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, we love you, Jack.
Some jerk prank phone called me earlier.
And we put that drop in. Dale here. Oh, that they play, God, on the radio. Yeah. No, I love Jack. Because he annoys me, but in a loving way. But anyway, he had his little fun with Patrick Maroon today. So I just think it's funny how like every three or four games, five or six games, like Jack will just pick on a random player on the away team, or the opposition. He's their punching bag for the game, and it's just hilarious how he arbitrarily chooses who to go after. But
I would be in so much trouble if I did that.
By the way, another just total random stray thought here, since we're already like off the rails. Seattle Kraken currently lead the Los Angeles Kings 8-6 at the end of the second period.
Wow.
Like, what on earth is going on?
They're playing without goalies.
Yeah.
The Kraken they're top 10 right now, by the way. I think they're like six of the overall in the league or something like that. But yeah. Oh, one other thing we might as well talk about while we're here.
Oh, man, I hope Jonathan Quick's not playing in that game because he's in my fantasy lineup. That's going to be a disaster. I just lost every goaltending category for the week if he's playing.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate for you. So guys, we have your opinions changed on the Winter Classic uniforms now that they debuted the entire set?
No.
Not really.
I gotta be honest, Scott and Bridget. I can't believe, and maybe it's just the cool thing to do, and if it is, be my guest. Like, who am I to say? Everybody is talking about how much they love them, and I'm sitting here asking myself, like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yes.
They look like a banana peel. Like, I don't understand a rotten banana peel, because there's a little bit of black and brown in there. Like the gloves are just the most random puke yellow you'll ever see. It does not go with anything in the uniform. Like the socks, I love the Bruins traditional black jerseys with the yellow socks. This is not me hating on a black shirt, yellow sock combination. This does not look good. They look like an ECHL team. I don't like them at all. I got to be honest.
Yeah. I was wondering, you know, when we saw the full uniform, if I'd like them a little more. I wouldn't say that I like them less. I just think my opinion hasn't changed. Like, I just think it's underwhelming overall. And, you know, they took a good logo and word mark, which they had already released with the Meth Bear and the way Boston's written like that. And then I think just surrounded it with, like, just not a very good jersey. Just really blah, kind of, you know, similar to other throwbacks they've worn. And, yeah, the yellow socks, yellow gloves, I don't know. All of it together just doesn't really work for me. I think it keeps it in, like, the same sort of C-grade range where I was. Like, it almost, you know what it almost feels like? Is, like, it's just, like, they got caught between doing something kind of new and original and also trying to be a throwback, and just ended up in sort of like this no man's land where it doesn't really fit anything. And, like, and I already mentioned it before, but, like, the logo doesn't really seem to fit with the rest of the jersey. Like, the colors aren't even close to the same. That brownish color isn't incorporated anywhere else. Like, it's other than the little lace tie at the, on the neck. But yeah, I don't know. It's fine. I don't totally hate it. And I think I definitely like it more than Pittsburgh's, whose unis I do not like, but could have been so much better. There was, when you saw that they were going with Meth Bear, like, and they broke out that logo, there's so much potential there. And I just feel like, nope. Didn't live up to it.
Meth Bear is a 10, and they made him a 5.
Yeah, well, and they also, yeah, and it's like he's shrunk in the wash too, because, like, it's a very small Meth Bear on the jersey. It's like,
it's not gonna scare anyone like that.
No, it's baby meth. It's, you know, it's little meth bear. But, like, I just feel like I just think there's. People talk about the symmetry, like, oh, the symmetry matches, the stripes are the same in the socks. Like, well, yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. But, like, to your point, Scott, like, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, they got caught between throwback and modern. But it's like, I just think that if you're going to have black, a black jersey and yellow socks, whatever, but it's like, you can't do black on yellow only, because you look like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's like you have to break up those colors with, like, a white or like a beige or something, like we talked about. I mean, I would have put Meth Bear on, like, a white jersey, let it pop more. But if they were gonna go with this black jersey, they should have just kept the socks black. They should have incorporated, like, a white or a cream or something like that. You know, black gloves, black helmet. At least it looks like a lot. Like, it's not a crazy design, but it's just a lot going on. Like, meanwhile, you have, like, the old school, like, 1980s Bruins, like, spoked B logo on the shell, and it's bigger than the logo on the jersey. And I think a lot of the reason people liked it is because Bergeron was wearing it. And let's be honest, I mean, if Bergeron's wearing it, you can't hate on it. But yeah, I don't think it's the worst jersey you've ever seen, worst uniforms you've ever seen.
I definitely can't elevate it to a B-.
Yeah,
even when, like, Bergeron was in it, I was like, scroll.
The only thing that they can do,
trust me,
the only thing they can do to make it worse for me is if they do what Scott loves and give him, like, some chrome helmet when they get on the ice, like a black chrome helmet. I'll lose my mind. So, anywho, I want to get you guys 2 cents on the full uniforms. Again, I echo Scott's comments. Like, it's not the worst I've ever seen, but for me, it's like it's a C overall. If you love it, like, I'm happy for you. Like, I'm not here to dissuade your opinion. Like, that's, you know, it's subjective, but I personally, it's not my cup of tea. Scott,
how about gold helmets to match the socks?
No,
please.
Scott,
no.
No, Scott,
please, no.
I
just might not watch the Winter Classic if that's the case. I'll just look for your updates on Twitter.
Yeah, you can't even root for that, Scott, because you and I are going to be up in the press box and we're not even going to be able to see. We're going to be blinded by gold helmets reflecting at us.
Yeah. All right. Well, just wanted to get you guys' opinions on that. Was there anything else? Scott, congrats on your soccer team. That's big. Any other thoughts?
That's right.
We gave you a soccer segment last time without you. We waited until you weren't on the podcast to talk soccer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did. Yeah.
Time to beat the Netherlands.
When is that game?
Saturday, 10 a.m.
Oh, okay. All right, go USA, go. You like their uniform, Scott?
No, the U.S. soccer ones are terrible, but whatever.
Good. Oh, good, some good jerseys you would have loved this weekend. I broadcast the Yale against U.S. development under 18 team, and those USA jerseys are fire.
Those are just sharp.
That they were in their blues. They're really nice.
Yes. No, those are sick. Those are sick. Those are the uniforms they should have won to the Olympics. But maybe, who knows, maybe 4 years from now they'll smarten up and go with it. All right. You guys have any other thoughts?
No.
Nope. All good.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will talk soon.